Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
More of Mike Vrabel. Talking with Tom E. Kern. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm curious in what Mike Vrabel's plan for Drake May is. I don't know that Gerard Mayo had one. I don't know that there was really a whole lot of hands-on.
You sure? Didn't he tell us all the whole... They had a big plan for him.
I know. Did you see one in action that Gerard Mayo seemed to be executing?
Don't play, and then it was play. It was right. Don't run, and then it was run.
So, well, you could say that Mayo's plan was to start him week one. And that they didn't do that, and whatever, he got overruled somehow. Which I think is another part of this. You know, Mike Vrabel's the coach last year, and he wants Drake May to start week one. Then Drake May is going to start week one. And I think that there's sort of, in that interview with Kern, he talked a little bit more about breaking down the silos and all of that. And Vrabel was very diplomatic in saying that, well, you know, yeah, we still want to do that, and we want to be able to communicate. I want the communication to be open. But he didn't say, I want to collaborate. You know, no. He said, I'll communicate with you, but that doesn't mean that you're going to influence my decision-making all that much or at all or whatever. And
I think he wants good people around him to provide him information with which he will make the decision.
Right.
And in all areas, coaching, personnel, everything.
Adam Schefter at ESPN, who we're going to talk to here in about an hour or a little more, said that Vrabel's the man. Like, Vrabel's the guy. It's all going to flow through him. He's going to be the chief decision maker, and that includes on GM front office related stuff, not just football on the field.
Technically, he said Vrabes is the guy.
Vrabes, right. So maybe it's somebody else, but I think it's Mike Vrabel he's talking about.
Does it, and this is a weird, cynical Andy question.
Uh-huh.
Does it worry you that Mike Vrabel might be too close to everyone?
Too close to everyone who's there?
I don't know. No, everywhere. Seems like everybody loves him. Everybody, he's in their pocket or they're in his pocket or, like, have you heard a counter word, really?
Yeah, from me. Basically,
other than you.
Other than me, no. Not really.
And it cost you your job.
Well, sure. Middays, I know Jones and Keefe both were pro Johnson.
Excuse me?
So I clipped that.
Pause.
I know they were pro Ben Johnson and had a preference for him over Vrabel, but I don't know how the hardcore they went after that. I remember them saying that.
I just think Crafts love him and Josh loves him and all the coaches love him and the players love him and the media loves him and everybody loves him.
I'll tell
him
you who doesn't love him is the Strunk family.
That is true.
Yeah, so. You know.
But I mean sort of in the greater New England area and even the media, national media. I don't know. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Bill loves him. Yeah.
Like, there was, and I don't know. I don't even know why it intrigues me, but he feels like he's going to be treated with kid gloves. He feels like he's going to get the benefit of the doubt, probably the benefit of the doubt much more than Mayo did, even though Mayo was supposed to be the nice guy, the perfect leader, the relationship builder. Mm-hmm. And
well, Vrabel's following Mayo. He's not following Bill. So
true, you know. But Vrabel's supposed to be a hardo, kind of an a-hole, kind of a ball buster, but everybody loves him. And that's good if he can pull that off. If that's sort of the magic of his personality and
his
motivations.
Well, again, everyone likes him here. In Tennessee, that wore thin once they stopped winning games.
Does everybody just like him here because, A, he's replacing Mayo, and, B, he won Super Bowls?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fair. If you want my honest answer, I think
so
the answer to that is yes. I think it is superficial.
And short-lived.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about this all week, haven't we? If he wasn't a Patriot, would we all be this excited about it? Probably not.
No, but he'd still be a good candidate.
He could be a good candidate, sure, but he wouldn't be the shoo-in everybody made
him
this time.
The Jets wanted him. The Raiders is kind of because he's a Patriot. Yeah. Brady wanted him, his buddy.
Exactly. And I think other teams wanted him anyway, but that's not the point. I don't think he would have been the shoo-in candidate that he was here if he hadn't won Super Bowls here and sort of introduced himself there. People loved him here. I remember he used to do commercials here. There was a commercial. You remember it was him and some guy, and they were neighbors, and he's trying to, like, run around the grill, and Vrabel keeps throwing him down on the lawn. You remember that?
Nope.
And the wives are talking. It was a funny commercial. I forget what it was for. But yeah, Dan, if you could hunt that one down, it was a funny ad when he played here, so it may predate YouTube. But either way, he was a personality. People liked
absolutely.
Him. You know, people liked hearing from him when he became a head coach. People sort of rooted for him from afar.
I think he did weekly interviews either with Curran, like early quick slants, mm-hmm. or just NBC Friendly's Inside Scoop rings a bell. And I think Mike Vrabel did it like weekly from the locker room or something. So he was out there. He was in the media. He was in the public eye. And he was
a great player.
Oh, yeah.
A great player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was one of the like mainstays and building blocks of that early dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he arrived. You go back to that Super Bowl, the pass rush that turned into the pick, right? He's the one going after Kurt Warner that forces the bad throw to Ty Law for a pick.
Right.
And then we're dancing in the end zone.
It's right. And that was one of the plays, greatest plays in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned.
He was also beating the snot with Willie out of, what's his name?
Marshall Faulk. Yes.
I'm having a CTE day, just so you know.
Okay, good.
Struggled in the back room with Brian. I was like, who's the coach of, who's the quarterback of this guy? What's the guy's name? Like, I'm struggling today. Don't worry.
All right. No problem. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Bob is in Londonderry. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Bob. Can you turn your radio down, Bob?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yeah.
No problem, thanks.
You're right.
Okay. We do sound good, though, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Anyway, what's
up, Bob?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
Great. Super. How are you?
I had a quick question, okay? I'm kind of the casual fan, but I'm a realist. You know, I mean, I'm always a bit negative, but I was curious. I would agree the upgrade with Mr. Vrabel is obviously going to be, it's got to be in a heck of a better position they were in, because you can't keep running the team like a CYO basketball league. You just can't. But my question is this, what help realistically are they really going to get Vrabel? And B, the quarterback that you guys keep putting on this pedestal, I didn't say he's not good, but what happens if he in the long run doesn't really work out? What ultimately are they going to be at this point?
Screwed.
Yeah, Bob, screwed. That's what they'll be. If it turns out that Drake May is not what we think he is, and I think you think he's better than I do, but
absolutely.
We both think he's good.
Yeah.
If he's not good, and there's different levels to good, like, you know, if he's Kirk Cousins for a few years, people thought Kirk Cousins was going to be really good. And in those years, you thought, oh, wow, this guy, if he ever got on the right team, and Herbert's going that way too. Like, there's quarterbacks who are good, but never really do anything and put up good numbers, and they're kind of empty, and they bounce around, and then they're out of the league or, you know, whatever. But, like, their career, their prime years kind of get wasted. That's a very realistic outcome here for Drake May.
It's probably, despite my opinions of him, it's probably the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
That happens to more quarterbacks than it doesn't happen to.
Totally, yeah.
Right, like, Vrabel lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill had the Tannessance resurgence in Tennessee.
Philip Rivers, he never won anything.
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
He went to back-to-back AFC title games as the sixth pick in the draft, and then his career is looked at as butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a clown show butt fumble guy, right?
Right, yeah.
But at one point, he's a young, what did he go, second year, third year he went to the AFC title game?
Yes.
I mean, that's an ascension that's pretty impressive.
He had bad stats, but yeah.
But I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I would like to get to the point around here where we're debating why Drake May loses in the postseason, or why Drake May can't get to the Super Bowl, or why Drake May doesn't win the Super Bowl. Because now you're back in the conversation.
Mm.
We're so outside the conversation right now, those spoiled, entitled conversations about what's Josh Allen ever won. I would die to have Josh Allen, and he's won nothing.
Right.
Joe Burrow, nothing. Like, let's get back in that weird conversation of how good is he? We know he's good, but how good? Even Justin Herbert, they went to the playoffs. I'll take a playoff game where you fizzle out. Like, isn't that the first next step?
Yeah, that's definitely.
We thought Mac Jones took that first next step his rookie year, and then it really all snowballed for the negative.
Yeah.
But theoretically, that
also, 4 years can go by, and if Allen and Jackson still can't beat Mahomes, then that's going to be part of their story, too. You know, is it MVPs or not? Like, that's going to be
that.
You couldn't do it.
Like Dan Marino.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm fine with that story.
Yeah.
That's a much better story than Mac Jones, Cam Newton, Jacoby Brissett, then this guy. Like, give me stability first.
Sure.
I'd like to know that for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, Drake May is starting. Because that right there is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
If you lock down the starting job, because you look around the NFL, and it's the same everywhere. First of all, Bob sounded a little bit like Eddie Andelman. Did you know that?
I did think that, yeah.
I thought he sounded a little bit like Eddie.
Yeah,
in between one of the comments.
Absolutely, yeah.
But his negative tone should also include Chicago, should also include Denver. What if Bo Nix isn't as good as we think he is right now? What if Trevor Lawrence isn't as good as he's supposed to be or his paycheck, which is a very real possibility?
Yeah.
Like, that's the life that'll... Mm-hmm. There are... How many good quarterbacks right now? Really, really good? Like six?
Yeah, six or seven, I'd
somewhere
say,
in that range.
Like that, yeah.
So there's no shame in being in the next tier.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so far from the next tier for like 3 years now that I'll take the next tier.
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that Mac Jones, his rookie year, which is how he was able to score that weaselly Pro Bowl selection, but he was in that second tier.
Sure.
He was maybe like the 13th or 14th best quarterback
somewhere
that season. Something along those lines. I think Drake May could get to that this season for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if he's there now, but I think
he
could get there.
If they do things right.
Right.
Some of it's on what goes on around him. But no, Bob's overall point is correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's no certainty that Drake May is the next big thing, the next great thing. And if he isn't, the answer is very simple. You're screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're going to have to go back in the draft. You're going to have to do what a lot of bad teams do.
Absolutely.
And that is keep on trying until you hit. And I think that Drake May is a hit. How big of a hit, I guess we'll find out. And a lot of that's going to have to do with the conditions and the settings around him, the players around him, the coaches around him, which is what Mike Vrabel's going to have to take very seriously here. We all said this about Mayo and Van Pelt. The most important thing about last year is Drake May. It's the same this year. It's going to be the same for the next 2 years. I think the progression of him and getting him to that point is all that anyone should really care about. And that's going to be interesting to see someone like Vrabel take that on. 617-779-7937. We are going to rank the best quarterback and coach combinations in the NFL as of today, January 15th, year of our Lord 2025. We'll do that later on in the program. But coming up next, are the Bruins back? I think the Bruins are back. That's next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Judd Surratt on the call. Nesson. It's the Bruins. The red hot Boston Bruins. Wins over Florida. A win over Tampa. And now look at this. It's almost like Rich Keefe motivated them to go out there and get their head out of their ass. How about that? You know what? Bravo. Bravo, Bruins. Bravo, Rich Keefe. Bravo, everybody. I didn't think they were going to beat the Panthers at all this year. I thought the Panthers were going to sweep them like they were dust on the carpet. And instead, they came out. It was a weird game, that Florida game, by the way, over the weekend. That was a wacky game. The goal they gave up at the end of regulation and then the game winner at the end, that was all very weird. But whatever, a win over Florida, I don't care how you get it, you got it. And then you come out and you got Tampa, a team that has had their number year after year. It seems like a lot. And this was decisive. This was a decisive win and physical play. I mean, there's a couple of fights in this game. One good one, one bad one. And a very, very strong game from Jeremy Swayman. But what I liked the most about this was how efficient the Bruins were scoring their goal. Six goals on 24 shots. That's a goal every four shots. Like, that's...
Look at you doing, Matt.
Tremendous. Like, that is really nice to see. I know. That CU degree really goes a long way. But, I know one of them was an empty netter, but, like, it was two empty netters, right?
It was two.
Yeah, it was two, like, shorthanded empty netters.
Yeah, they pulled the goalie at 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, so it was still, I mean, that was a very efficient, nice, good win. I mean, really, it was a good win. It was another one that they needed. It made the Florida game not look like a fluke. And the Bruins may have discovered something here. I don't know. Jones said it today. They're not self-starters. They need a spark. They need to fire their coach. Or they need Keith to tell everybody how much they hate each other, whatever it is, in order to get back on the winning ways. But it seems like they're back.
And that's where I don't know how much. There's an angle with Keith here, and I love it. If that's what it took, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Did anyone make the Major League joke yet?
No, just you.
Just me?
Just you.
Because I thought I heard Jones say something about Major League style. He's got him going. And if you don't know what that is, in the movie Major League, they were the Indians at the time, the Cleveland Indians owner is this woman, this very sort of shrill, angry woman. And they put a cardboard cutout. It's not very woke of them to do this. Put a cardboard cutout in the clubhouse. And every time they win, they peel the section off. And I think that the Bruins are doing that, but a cardboard cutout of Keefe.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Then they get to see the whole Keefe.
Yeah.
The whole Richard Keefe.
That's right.
The whole Richard.
Marchand and all those guys, and they're like, yeah, peel it off.
But whatever, if that's what it took for them, which is weird. I mean, Jim Montgomery couldn't do it. It cost him his job.
Right.
The new coach couldn't do it. Zach, you know, getting his job. If it's Rich Keefe, it's Rich Keefe. You also had the issues from the previous Lightning game where you had the cross check, the injury that happened real late. And I know Swayman was pissed.
Yes.
And so maybe your boy needed a little extra motivation because he comes out. He had 43 saves and they were up 4-0.
Right.
They controlled this game. They kind of cruised through this game, and there was a physical bite to everything they did. There were little scuffles and face washes after every stoppage. Now, they also got a little lucky. The Wotherspoon, I don't even know how to say his name, Wotherspoon?
Yeah.
Goal, his first career goal, was a ridiculous pass, so ridiculous that I think if you do it 100 times, it might work too. But that's the opposite of what they've been doing this year.
Right.
They've been missing passes that you're like, you're an NHL player. That should probably be like an 80% completion on that pass. And they were missing those. So they need a little luck, maybe. They need a little extra fire in their belly, whatever it may be. They're banged up. Maybe it was that. Maybe there's a little bit of like, now we're banged up and you got to rally the troops. I don't really care, honestly, whatever the answer is. But is it sustainable will be the question.
Right.
Can you keep doing this, you know, for a stretch of 10 days, 14 days, 20 days, like stack them on top of each other? And if your boy, Swayman, is trending the way he's trending,
he keeps going like this,
they can do it.
They definitely can. And right now, the very hot Columbus Blue Jackets, who have won 5 straight, are sneaking right up those wild card standings. They're only a point behind you, and you are tied in points with Tampa Bay, but even though you beat them last night, they still have that playoff spot. You're still the wild card team. But it's all very perilous right now. Ottawa's right behind you. Montreal's right behind you. You got Detroit, Philly, and the Penguins all at 44 points. Like, they're within striking distance, some much closer than others. But this is a very important time now for this Boston Bruins team, and they have some, I think, winnable games coming up here, certainly against teams like the Ottawa Senators. I think they have San Jose coming up too. San Jose stinks this year. The Devils, Ottawa again, Colorado, Buffalo, some good and bad teams mixed in there. They got Winnipeg again, who smoked them this year. So this is going to be an interesting stretch here for your Boston Bruins team here at the end of this month of January to see if they can keep this going, because they are going to face some tough teams.
Plus, we're being overly optimistic, which we're not accused of very often.
Not with the Bruins, we're not, that's for sure.
I mean, they're
or really kinda, anyone.
What was it, like a 5-game losing streak? Six game.
One of the worst losing streaks they've had in years.
So,
yeah,
that, you know, 2 wins doesn't wipe out 6 losses.
It does not.
You need 4 more before you get to 500 in your last X number of games, kind of thing. So, but
when's the All-Star? That's coming up soon, right? The break in February, I want to say.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody back there now. It's early February, I think. So yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have some time there.
It's like the same week as the NBA, isn't it? In like the same week, or
maybe
like from one weekend to the next, they're back to back, I feel like.
I don't know. I just hope that Tate McRae performs again. Remember her last year? She was at the NHL All-Star Fest, whatever it was, like the skills competition.
I don't know.
You familiar with Tate McRae, with the Tate McRae?
Yes.
You guys know who I'm talking about?
Yes. Big in the hockey world.
Big in the hockey. She's Canadian, I think. That's why.
I think you're right.
So she performed.
Actually, her brother plays college hockey as well.
Does he really?
Tucker McRae, yeah. I think
good
he played
for
Dartmouth, I want to say.
Good for the whole McRae family, let me just say.
Dartmouth?
Tate McRae.
By the way, no All-Star game this year because of the Four Nations face-off.
Oh, right. So they'll have the break for that, but it's still at the same time, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's happening here in Boston.
So last year, Tate McRae was performing during the NHL All-Star break, and my son, who was 1, I guess, at the time, was transfixed on the television. He had one of those little the pouches the kids like. He's got the pouch going. He's just sitting there, did not blink, just watching Tate McRae. And I was like, "That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Start him
chip
young,
off the
baby.
Old block."
She is delightful, by the way. Tate McRae, I am a big fan.
What
of
does
her.
She sing?
I don't know any of her songs. I couldn't tell you one song.
You're like,
she
sings.
I do
never
not,
heard a word she said.
I heard there was sounds coming out of her mouth, but I don't know what they said or what they were about. Great dancer. Kind of like a throwback pop star, you know what I mean? Like, she has sort of that. It's hard to describe. But she's also only
21.
Is she only 21?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, whatever.
Settle down, Grandpa.
What do you want from me? I don't
Settle
know how
down,
old
Belichick.
She was. I know she's a
I was hoping
pop star.
You'd look that up, Andy. I really was.
She's only 21.
Belichick.
It's not like I'm 72.
I know.
Get on the plane and ask her
it's
about
funny.
Her philosophy homework.
What should I know from her? Like, you does she have a famous song?
All I know is that she's Canadian and often performs at hockey-related events. That's
too
all
young
I can tell
to
you.
Be sad. You broke me first.
I've never heard of any of these.
Yeah. Stiz, when we come back, can you
let's get some Tate McRae going when we come back here.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That is our Bruins Minute here as we continue on with our football conversation, which will get a little bit more intense here in about an hour as we talk with Adam Schefter, get his take on everything that went on with the Patriots over the course of the week, not to mention if he has any insight on who this offensive coordinator is going to be, as we know that Vrabel was interviewing candidates, where that part in the search is, and all things NFL here as we go into the division weekend. But first, Bill Belichick spoke. Praising Mike Vrabel, had a lot to say about him on the Let's Go podcast. We'll get to that and the coaching carousel, ESPN making predictions. We'll make some of those with you as well right after this.